Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. I haven't been doing any shows lately. In fact, the last 3 weeks, I haven't done a show. And my wife, Linda, has recently found out that her kidneys have failed. And so for the last several weeks, we've been dealing with that in our household. And in addition to that, we're selling our house, and we're getting ready to do a new thing. Isaiah 43:18-19 says that, don't call to mind the former things. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. And so we're getting ready to sell our house and purchase a motorhome and hit the road. We've got kids on both coasts and grandkids on both coasts. So that's what we plan on doing. And then ministering life to anybody who wants us to stop by. And everything we do at this ministry is free of charge. I life coach and I write. And I've got a book that's called Rich in Christ. It's a 31-day deeper life devotional that if anybody wants a free copy, our ministry follows seriously what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 18, and that is that we offer everything that we do or that Christ does in and through us, we offer it all free of charge to anybody who wants it. And we even pay for the shipping to get it to you. So if you want a copy of my 31-day devotional, which could change your life because it's like no other devotional out there written in modern day, just private message me on Facebook, Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K. Leave your name and address, and we will send you out a copy. It'll come directly from Amazon, and it'll come right to your door, free. So anyway, this show is like none other that you're going to hear in Christian media today, because I deal with what's the real life issues of real people who are looking for a real relationship with a real God. And that's really what this show is about. It's about people who are struggling, like Linda and I have been recently, with everything having to do with her kidneys failing and the combined 20 to 25 days that she spent in the hospital in the last couple of months. And so, and then everything having to do with our everyday life. And right now, it's trying to sell a house. And so there's other people out there that are dealing with the same issues of life. And whether it be relationship issues or financial issues or issues having to do with your physical well-being or the physical well-being of somebody that you care about, they're real-life issues. And the everyday different gospel, and that's what Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, and Galatians 1, 6 through 8. You'll hear me talk a lot about the different gospel because my only goal in life is to expose the different gospel. That's what I'm doing. I'm exposing the different gospel. What Paul says in Galatians 1, 6 through 8 is no gospel at all. It's not good news. And so there's a message out there that says that we're saved by grace, and everybody agrees with the fact that we're saved by grace. Everybody loves the fact that we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man boast. But it doesn't go to the next level. It talks about the crucified Jesus, and that's all well and good because that opens up the way for us to go to heaven. And to look forward to that time when we put off this earth suit and we stand face to face with Jesus Christ. But it doesn't talk about the crucified life of the believer. And I'm not talking about the crucified life that people are saying where you have to crucify yourself or you have to die to yourself. It's an impossibility for you to die to yourself. If you die to yourself, you fail to exist. Because instead of dying to yourself, God wants to manifest himself in you as you are right here and right now. In your weakness, he wants to become your strength. In your lack, he wants to become your all. And that's exactly what the real gospel of Jesus Christ is about. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to provide for those who are not able to provide for themselves. And who are those? Every human being that has ever existed. Because contrary to what you're hearing from the promoters of the different gospel, the Bible is not about you. It's not about you taking care of you with the help of God. It's about reckoning yourself, which Paul said in Romans 6, dead to sin, dead to your life, dead to a separated God, because that's really what the real definition of sin is. The real definition of sin is separation. It's seeing more than God. Everything that humanity is capable of in its illusion of independence comes from the separated way that we see God and we see ourselves. And that all happened, started in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve. That all happened with the enticement by the serpent to deceive Eve into partaking of the fruit that God said she wasn't supposed to partake in. And that what that did is it opened her eyes up to good and evil. That's what the serpent guaranteed. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Before that, all she knew was God. She didn't know good and evil. So now she had choice she had to deal with, and with choice comes confusion and every evil double-minded work. That's why James talks about the double-minded man who is unstable in all of his ways. That's why Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, the one whose eye is single is full of light, and the one whose eye is evil is full of darkness. Evil is not defined according to a behavioral way of looking at the word evil. Evil there is defined as anything that takes us away from the single eye focus of seeing Jesus Christ alone as our only hope in life, period. That's what the entire chapter of Matthew, chapter 6, is all about. And it concludes with Matthew 6:34, that says, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. And that is a comfort to the believer who wants everything that God has for them. That's a reminder that our life is no longer our own, and we don't have to micromanage or self-manage what's not ours to manage. That's what Jesus came to show us. He came to show us, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus came clothed in flesh as the heart of the Father to show us the real Father, to expose the lie of the Pharisees, which was the different gospel of that day. What the Pharisees were preaching was about the law, and the law that you had to keep by your own doing. Well, today, nothing's changed. They're not called Pharisees anymore. Today, they're called leaders. They're called mature Christian leaders. That's what we look at them as. But they're preaching the same exact gospel of you having to do something to get something from God, whether it be you having to tithe to be blessed, open your Bible and read your Bible to be blessed, to pray for some reason for God to do something for you. And then you read the writings of the man who wrote three-quarters of the New Testament, and it flies in the face of everything that the Pharisees ever did. And this man called himself at one point in time a Pharisee of Pharisees, perfect in the law. What that meant was by the age of 8, this man, who was the Pharisee of Pharisees, had memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Because that's what Pharisees did. They worked hard to please God by their own doing. And so Jesus comes along to reveal to us that the law is not who the Father is. The Bible says, for the grace of God has appeared. It's in 2 Timothy, I think, or Titus. I don't know the address. You'll have to look it up. For the grace of God has appeared, who brings, says that brings salvation to all men, who brings salvation to all men. Well, who is the grace of God who brings salvation to all men? It's not some kind of spiritual pixie dust that we have taken down to a form of unmerited favor. That's not the grace of God. The grace of God is the power of God that enables us to live by the life of God. That's what the grace of God is. There is no other grace of God. That is the grace of God. In the same way that the mercy of God is the power of God that draws us to the grace of God. It's all mercy and it's all grace. By grace that you're saved, not by works, lest any man boast. That's the grace that Paul is talking about. The grace of God is the person who is the Word of God. His name is Jesus Christ. And our mission at Rich in Christ Ministries is to expose the lie of the performance-based gospel that is no gospel at all. Not my words, Paul's words. In Galatians 1, 6 through 8, no gospel at all. And in fact, he says it's a perversion of the gospel. Well, what is a perversion? A perversion is something that looks like the real thing, except it doesn't, it's not the real thing. It's got every outward form of looking and sounding and acting and smelling like the real thing, but there's something about it that has no substance whatsoever. There's no life in it. There's no vitality in it. And there's nothing that is going to change your life in one way, shape, or form. That's the different gospel. That's the gospel that's preached in 99.9% of Christendom today. And accepted as the truth. In the same exact way as the Pharisees' truth was accepted in that day. When Jesus came along to expose the yeast of the Pharisees, he called their teaching the yeast of the Pharisees. Well, who's exposing the yeast of the Pharisees today? You know what? There's not hardly anybody, because here's what has to happen if you want to be an expositor of that yeast. You have to take that same life of Jesus Christ as your own, and you have to allow God to roll death in on everything that you call your own life, including your possessions, your relationships, your hopes, your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, everything. God only wants one thing, everything. And that's the one that God has called to stand in the gap. That one person who has said, yes, God, I will go and immediately I'll have that hot coal put to my lips in the same way that Isaiah did, but before he answered that call. Because that's exactly what Isaiah's reward was. When God was looking for a man, the angel took the coal with the tongs off the altar and put it to Isaiah's lips. That was his reward for a heart that was after God alone. And yet we have a message out there that says, if you serve God, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You'll have everything your heart's ever wanted, ever desired, because that's what the Joyce Meyers is and the Joel Osteens and the other people out there are preaching. They're preaching some kind of a message that says, it's all about you, and God will help you to get to that place. That's all about you. And that's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about at all. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So what part of nothing is something? What part of God being the all-in-all who fills everything in every way has anything to do with us doing something for God? And there's the catch. Because if you want to walk in the revelation of Jesus Christ as your life, then you have to embrace the same cross that Jesus Christ embraced so that he could be your life. That's what you have to embrace. It's called losing to gain. Matthew 16:25 says, if you hold on to your life, if you save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life, you find it. And until you lose your life, which you call your life, Christian, because any believer who has received Jesus Christ as their life, whether they know it or not, their life is no longer their own. They were paid for in full with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now Paul calls us a bond slave. Bond slaves. A bond slave is a slave that has been given the option to go free or to stay. And because he's developed a relationship with his master that borders on sonship rather than slavery, he chooses to stay with his master. That's who we are. That's the kind of relationship God wants to reveal to his son. And it can only happen as we embrace the losing to gain message of the cross. No other way. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. God uses time to bring us to the end of all things us. Time is significant. And so what does God want to do in the middle of your situation today? When you're sitting there and you're without a job or you're disabled, you're losing your home, you've got relationships that are broken or strained, what does God want to do? And what's more, what does he want you to do? All you can do, and that is look to him alone as the only source of hope in life. The reason that you are where you're at is not because of punishment. It's because of approval. It's because you've received the seal to be able to be a part of what Paul calls the fellowship of his sufferings. It's not about not doing enough for God. It's about yielding to the life of God exactly where you're at, and believing God against all appearances that he is going to do something in and through you in this day that is beyond all that you can ask, think, or even imagine in the middle of your suffering, in the middle of your pain. The Because that's exactly what God's going to do. And what has to happen is that different gospel lie has to fall off at some point. That different gospel lie that says, I have to do something for God in order for God to do something for me. And the only way that can happen is if you let God change you from the inside out. God is always doing an inside job, always. God doesn't care about anything outward, nothing. When the prophet went looking for the next king, he lined up Jesse's sons because they all looked kingly. They all looked like they should be in positions of leadership. And just before he was going to walk out the door, he said, is this all your sons? Well, I have one other, and he's out with the sheep. And we all know that story. That was David. And David was anointed king, and he was hanging out with the sheep. He wasn't looking for position or power or status. He wasn't trying to build his bigger barns and make his ministry bigger. He was loving the sheep. And because he was loving the sheep, God knew he would love God's people. Because we're the sheep of his pasture. And so today, God isn't looking for super Christians. God is looking for one broken, weak vessel who has come to the end of everything. All of his or her striving is crying out to God for God to do something significant in their life. And that significance is the cross. It is not a $100 million a year income through a multinational corporation that you call a ministry. It's through weakness, brokenness, and loss where God reveals himself to humanity. That's the chosen vehicle that God has used. Paul said, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come to you with superiority of speech or eloquence. I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. What's the testimony of God? Weakness. Fear and much trembling, because in your weakness is where his power is revealed, and no other place. And the lie that you've been listening to that has said your weakness and your inability and your frailty and your defects are a detriment to your life, when in reality it's the only asset that you have. Your only asset, as far as God is concerned, is your weakness, because that's the only place his positive power can be revealed, in your negative nothingness. And when the positive and the negative come together, power is always the result. The religion has taught you to grovel at the feet of God, like he's some kind of a cruel, punishing, distant, impersonal taskmaster. When in reality, God has orchestrated your life to take you to the end of all things you, so you can see the only life is the life of his son, period. There is no other life. And we're to be comforted by the fact that sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. Because God created us as that 24-hour vessel for him to live his life through. In the day. That's what the story of the manna is about. In the day. And if you're living past the day, you're walking in disobedience. And if you're living in the past, you're walking in disobedience. And you open yourself up to confusion and every evil work. Well, God uses the trials and the tribulations that you're going through as like a laser to bring you into the day. Because you can't handle anything more than today. That's purposeful and it's planned. And if you don't believe me, read the story of Job. The story of Job climaxes in Job 40, verse 6. You can look it up. It's where Job says, when I'm done, I've spoken, I'm not going to speak anymore. And he shuts his mouth. He has no more solutions for God. He has no more counsel to give God. He's at the end of himself. And from that second on, God begins to restore everything Job lost. Job 40, verse 6. It took him 40 chapters. Just like it does us. It usually doesn't happen until the end of this journey where God reveals himself as the only one, because we've got to wade through all the crap to get here. And there is a lot of crap out there that is being promoted as truth. And it's not truth. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. And I'm here to proclaim that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And in fact, you couldn't be anywhere other than where you are, because God has placed you here so that you can know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and you can be a vessel of his glory. Because that's what you were created to be. And God wants to open up your eyes today. Whoever is willing, whosoever has eyes to see or ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, not what the flesh, because the flesh has in mind the things of men and not the things of God. And the things of God always point to Jesus Christ. Everything that can be classified as a thing of God always points to his son as being the only solution there is, period. God is challenging somebody today to embrace what it is that you've been running from. And to see him in a whole new way. Because God does want to do a new thing. And it will spring forth. But except a grain of wheat dies, falls to the ground and dies, it abides to itself. And that is not what God created when he created us. He created us to be the vessel, branch, lamp, temple that he can live through for his glory for others. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for these people, Lord, for the few who are listening. And I ask, God, that you open their eyes and you unstop their ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to them through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'll be back here again next Wednesday, God willing. Thank you for praying for my wife, Linda. And you guys have a good week. God bless.